You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
Our text, young people, is a record of when Jesus went to Palestine or Palestine. And the verse says in verse 21, he was in the region of Tyre and Sidon. Verse 22 starts out by saying, "And behold," letting us know that there are some truths in these verses or in this story that we need to look at and learn from. Behold, I want you to look at something, and I want you to learn something. Even Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 11 and 29, in part, he told them, look, I want you to learn from me. Young people, let me say this. Strive to be the type of person that is a learner. Not just in church, but in every aspect of your life. Always be the type of person that learns. You see the value in knowledge, understanding, wisdom that comes from God and other sources. You want to be the type of young person that values information, data, things like these. You learn, you gather it, and then you apply it to your life as the Holy Spirit guides you. Never get to the point to where you can't be taught something. Always be learning. Learn about yourself, your likes, your dislikes, your strengths, your weaknesses, areas that you need to improve and excel in. Always learn. Learn about money. Learn about your spouse if you're married. Learn about God. Learn about his word. Learn about church folk. Look at somebody and say, always learn. Yeah, don't be ignorant. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Or we could say learning. Learn something. Don't be passive and just sit by and wait for somebody to tell you something. Always be to the point to where you're pursuing knowledge or learning. Amen. Especially about yourself. Always learn. Always learn. And that's what we see in the text. Before the story even begins, Matthew says, and behold. There's some things that we need to learn, some truths we need to learn in these verses on this morning. Now, the text goes on to say that there was a woman of Canaan. And when you read the text, you find out that this woman from Canaan was a true worshiper. You look at the language that she uses. This woman was a true worshiper, and she had, according to the text in Matthew 15, she had a daughter that was severely demon possessed. So you got a mother and a daughter. The mother is a worshiper or a true worshiper of God, and the daughter is demon possessed. Let's try that again, the two characters. You got a mother that's a true worshiper of God. Then you have her daughter that's what? Demon possessed. Now, this is real noteworthy. This ain't a major point, but this is noteworthy. A parent and a child can live in the same house, but have two different behaviors and lifestyles. Isn't that amazing? Be in the same house, but have two different lifestyles. We can look at this from a figurative standpoint and take it to the church. Pastor can believe one thing, but members in the church can believe something totally different. Pastor can have a lifestyle. Ministers can have a lifestyle. Leaders can have a lifestyle according to God's word. But in the same house, you got other folk that got totally contrasting lifestyles. Amen. Isn't that amazing? One worships God and one is possessed by the devil. And because there's nothing new under the sun, you got mothers that love the Lord. They believe in prayer, tithing, giving, coming to church. But then when you consider their child in the same house, don't want to go to church. Don't consistently pray. Give sometime in the same house. God wants us to be on the same page, right? God promotes unity. Because if a house is divided against itself, it's not going to stand. And if brethren are not dwelling or living together in unity, some good and pleasant things are not going to be taking place. And so you got a mother who worships the Lord, and you got a daughter who is demon possessed. It's another side point. It's real noteworthy, but the text doesn't say it, young people. But I wonder, how did this girl get demon possessed when she has a mother that loves the Lord? How in the world did this girl get severely demon possessed coming up in a household with a mother that believes in Jesus? How did this happen? The text doesn't say how she got demon possessed, but it happened. And because there's nothing new under the sun, you got young people, young adults in our day and time be in the same situation. Now, if you're saved and spirit-filled and living according to the word, you cannot be demon-possessed. No. Because your body is the temple of God and you're striving to live according to God's word, and the greater one lives on the inside. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit and demon possessed. Y'all still with me? But you can be saved and spirit filled, but give place to the devil. You can love the Lord, be a Christian, but still give place or opportunity for the devil, demons, to operate in your life. So much so that Paul told the church in Ephesians 4:27, nor give place to the devil. So I wondered when I considered the text that the Spirit of God led me to. Did this girl give place to the devil? And he just came in and just totally took over? It doesn't say, but it's a possibility. Young folk, if you give place to demons in your life, he's gonna run wild in your life. He's going to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, don't give him no opportunity. That's what place, or one of the meanings of place in the verse. Don't give demons no opportunity to set up shop in your life. In your room, on your phone, in your marriage, wherever you go, don't give demons place. Don't give them an opportunity. If you hang out with the wrong folk, you're giving the devil opportunity in your life. Amen. If you're partaking of things you know that a Christian shouldn't partake of, you're giving demons place in your life. Yes. Sneaking around doing stuff you know you have no business doing that God doesn't approve of, nor your parents or guardians approve of, that's giving place to demons in your life. Mm-hmm. And if you give them place, they're going to come in. Let's go to Leviticus. Ain't getting too much talk back, but am I telling the truth? And I wish I could tell you why you go to the book of Leviticus 18. I wish I could tell you that young people in God's house never give place to the devil. I wish I could tell you that, but it just ain't so. It wasn't so in the Bible, and it's not so in our day and time. Don't give place to them. This is one way I found out that some young people in our day and time give place to the devil. Notice Leviticus 18 and verse 3. According to the doings of the land of Egypt, where you dwell, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, you shall not do. Nor shall you walk in their ordinances or laws. See, what happens to God's people sometimes, the way they give place to the enemy is they start doing like everybody else is doing. You see your peers smoking, and so guess what some saints start doing? They start smoking. You see your peers doing this and doing that, and guess what? Some saints are so weak, guess what they start doing? The exact same thing. The Lord told God's people back in the Old Testament, look, I'm going to put you in the land of Canaan. You're going to live there, but don't you do what you see everybody else doing. But you got young folk in our day and time, God saves them, delivers them, and they have the audacity to start doing what other folk are doing when they know what God has told them not to do. And whenever you start doing that, whether it be at home, in the school, on the job, or what have you, you're giving place or opportunity to the devil. And notice, if you resist the Holy Spirit or quench him long enough, he's going to leave. If you don't want to obey the Holy Spirit, he'll leave and you'll have a new master come and live on the inside. You shouldn't want that. And so, again, we're going to look at this story in a little bit more detail and learn some lessons from all the people in the verse, from the mother, from Jesus, and from the daughter. Y'all ready? All right. Let's look at some lessons from this text. Let's start in verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon possessed." Lesson number one, the mother identified her problem. The mother identified her problem. She understood that the root of her problem was the devil. She understood that her child was messed up, and it was because of demons or the devil. Young people, you have to get to the point to where you identify problems in your life. And what's the root of the problem? What's the cause of the problem? You have to learn how to discern and identify what's going on in your life. Some problems are your fault. Some problems happen or trouble happens because of the choices that you choose. But then some trouble happens because God ordains it. God allows it. Look at Job. Job had all that trouble, but God allowed it. But then there are some problems because of the devil, because of demons. What be messed up is sometimes saints try to solve problems caused by devils by natural means. You can't solve demonic issues by doing natural things. You solve demonic issues by doing spiritual things. If you know depression, stress, anxiety is attacking you, you don't solve that with pills, weed, or vaping. That ain't how you solve that. That's a demon spirit. God has not given you the spirit of fear. But does that mean it's not going to attack you? No, it's going to attack you. It's going to come your way. But you don't solve that problem by natural means. Paul said the weapons of our warfare, they are mighty through God. So when you get to going through and dealing with depression, despair, hopelessness, anxiety, and so forth, you don't try to solve that problem by natural means. It's not going to work. You have to do what the Bible prescribes. You have to say, "Lord, what is it that I need to do? Because I got a demon attacking me. This thing is plaguing me, is dealing with me. I can't sleep, I can't eat, I can't focus. It's affecting me. What do I need to do?" You don't go out and grab no CBD. You don't go out and grab no weed. You don't pop no pills. That's a demonic, or could be a demonic, attack. And you don't deal with demonic attacks with natural weapons or means. Are y'all understanding? Those type weapons, young folk, are just temporary. You get high for a few moments, you forget about your issues, but then when you come down off the high, you still got to deal with your problems. You done spent your money on it. You done blew some brain cells. You done wasted some time. You know what done happened? Death. When you are carnal minded, the only thing you gonna get, Paul said, is death. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, when you go pray, When you go fast, when you get in the word, those are spiritual things. And Paul said, when you're spiritually minded, you're going to have life and peace. But sometimes our young people don't identify the problems in their life. And you know what I love about this woman? Once she identified that a demon was the problem in her daughter's life, guess what she did? She took it to Jesus. That's what you got to do. When you have problems in your life, young folk, and you identify what it is, take it to Jesus. The Bible says we can cast all of our cares on him because he cares for us. Lying is not going to solve your problem. Lying to your mother about what you've been doing in school is not going to solve your problem. Lying to your friends, lying to yourself. Lying is of the devil. So when you feel compelled to lie about your problems, you're giving place to the devil. Why not just be honest? Lord, I messed up. Can you help me? Don't give more place to the devil. Don't lie to your spouse about what you're dealing with. If it needs to be put on the table and dealt with, go ahead and put it on. Put it on the table. The truth, the Bible says, will make us free. You have to identify the problems. And some problems, again, like this woman, they're demonic. And there are certain things that come to your mind, young folk, to do. Bottom line is just straight demonic. How many know demons talk? Yes. Go in and tell your mama you want to hang out with so-and-so. And you know hanging out with so-and-so, it's not beneficial for you. That's why the enemy wants you to lie about it. You gotta identify that problem. Man, this a demon talking to me. This a devil telling me to do such and such and such and such. Lord, help me not to obey this spirit. When the enemy was using Goliath, when he was talking to David, David identified, you uncircumcised Philistine. He said, you ain't of God. He talked right back to him and let him know that, look, the Lord got my back. We got to follow that same example, young folk. When things come to your mind, to your heart, you got to talk back to it based upon God's word. Identify the problem. Identify the problem and then take it to Jesus. How many have ever been guilty of not taking time to deal with your problems nor taking it to Jesus by a show of hands? You got to change. You got to mature. Same verse, second lesson, verse 22. Again, the mother said, my daughter is severely demon possessed. Lesson number two, don't play with demons, young folk. Don't play with them. Notice how the language is used in the verse. Not just demon possessed, but how? Now y'all scared to talk, but how? Severely. One of the meanings of severe in the verse means extremely messed up. My daughter is jacked up. Messed up. And it wasn't nothing but the devil who did it. She is severely, extremely messed up. I've seen young folk that have left church, this church, left God's house, and some years go by, and then I see them. I greet them, I talk to them, I witness and so forth, but I'm just standing there discerning and looking. Lord, they need to get back in God because they are extremely messed up. you get to looking and you're looking and you're like, Lord, have mercy. See, whenever demons get to messing folk life up, eventually it's going to be some manifestation in the realm of the physical. Amen. Sooner or later, you're going to be able to see, yeah, they done gave place to the devil. The same way you can see the blessing of God, young folk, you can see the destruction of the devil. If you can discern it, the same way we see the Lord's blessing upon his people, his favor, his mercy, his grace, his anointing, you can see death on a person. Yes. And you just start looking, you be like, Lord, look at them. They messed up. Lips burnt out. Eyes cloudy. Then some folk, they can dress it up real good. You can look at them and they don't look like they done gave place to the devil. But you just let some time pass. You can't hide that corruption. You can't hide it. Sooner or later, it's gonna manifest. Because a devil like to let folk know he in there. He in their life. And so he was saying, man, she is extremely messed up. You can't play with demons, young folk. Let me show you why. Let's go to Luke. Y'all hurry up. Luke 28. Still with me? All right, Luke 8 and verse 29. Luke 8, verse 29. Now, y'all quiet, but I need y'all to read with me, okay? When I pause, y'all read it loud. Because I ain't getting an amen, a hand clap, you right, or nothing. Let's see if y'all still with me. Luke 8 and 29. For he had commanded the unclean, help me, spirit to come out of who? The man. For it had often seized him. Now, this is a man who had a whole bunch of demons. Notice, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with what? Chains and, help me, shackles. And he broke the bonds. He was strong. That demon was strong. And notice, was driven by the demon into the wilderness. What did the demon do? Drove him where? What did the demon do? Drove him where? Into the wilderness. If you give place to the devil or you play around with demons, notice they can drive you or guide you. See, the Lord wants us to be led by the Spirit. But if you allow demons place in your life, young folk, they'll lead you. They'll drive you. Notice, to the wilderness, to an unproductive place. They'll take you somewhere where you can't grow or be productive. Demons drive young folks to the wilderness in our day and time. Guide them to do stuff that'll kill them. Driving you to smoke, and it's killing you. It smells like cherry. It smells like watermelon, but it's killing you. Yeah, you can hide it from folk. It don't have no odor, but it's worse than tobacco. It's killing you. It's making you broke. You're spending money on it all the time. It's causing you to go to poverty. Well, I'm just a porn addict. I love it. It's killing you. It's driving you to be perverted. It's driving you to be lewd or nasty. Demons will drive you. They'll try to guide you. Man, these folk getting on your nerves, go on down there and get you some wine. is driving you to be an alcoholic. Going to get you something to drink is guiding you down a path of addiction. Then you hear people that really done gave place to the, don't nobody die from doing it. It ain't doing nothing. Messing them up. Because once you can't get your high off of something like this, the enemy will drive you to something stronger. Drive you to something stronger. Don't play with demons. Either you want to be guided by the Holy Spirit or you're going to be guided by the devil. Y'all still with me? 1 Corinthians. Come on. 1 Corinthians 10 and 21. Paul said, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Now, he's talking to the church. He said, you can't play with demons. Either you're going to partake of what God has or of what demons have. You can't eat from both tables. You can't have both lifestyles. Either you're going to be in the club or you're going to be in the church. Can't do both. There's got to be one cup that you drink from. And once you make your choice, you stand on it. I'm so glad that I put down the devil's cup. And now I drink from the Lord's cup only. Yeah, that cup get tough to drink from sometime, but I'm standing on business. Look at somebody say, you got to stand on business. Yeah, God will give you some good things in that cup, but then sometimes he'll give you some adversity. But blessed be the name of the Lord. We just don't accept the good from God. We got to also accept the adverse things from God. But I done come to find out, young folk, that God's cup is better than the cup of demons. Look at somebody and say, whose table you going to eat from? You're going to eat from somebody's table, and it can't be both. Now, God may allow you to get a sample from each one, but at the end of the day, you got to make a decision whose table you going to eat from. Let me give you an example. Y'all ever been to the mall before, and you got them folk that give you the little toothpick orange chicken? Orange chicken, they give you just a little sample. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all get the orange chicken and you be like, that's good. Let me go back and get some more. But see, it's going to come a time you got to pay the price. If you want the orange chicken, you're going to have to put some money on the table. It's going to cost you. If you eat from the devil's table, if you take just a little bit, it's going to cost you, young folk. It's going to cost you. You don't play with demons. Because the same way God blesses us for righteousness, there is a payday for sin. The wages of sin is death. And it don't matter if you come out to church. It don't matter if your parents are preachers or leaders. The soul that sins or the life that sins will so you got to decide whose cup and table you going to drink and eat from. And sometimes you get tempted to leave God's table and go to the devil's table. But you got to be just like them Hebrew boys and know that, look, this ain't nothing but a trick. I'm not going to bow down or sit down at your table. How many know that demons will trick you? I said, demons will trick you. Paul told the Ephesian church that the devil is wild. You have to watch out for the wiles or the trickery of the devil. Girl, getting high, that ain't nothing but a trick of the enemy. Getting high ain't nothing but a trick of the enemy. Hoeing out ain't nothing but a trick of the enemy. It's set up to mess you, up. If I'm telling the truth, somebody say, he's telling the truth. Telling the truth. Identify your problem. Lesson number one. Lesson number two, don't play with who? Don't play with demons. Lesson number three is found through verses 23 through 26. It talks about how she asked the Lord for help, and then it first says he didn't answer her a word. Then the disciples wanted her to be sent away. Then the Lord turned around and rejected her again, and then he called her a little dog. All of that went on, and all this woman wanted was some help for her daughter. But there's a lesson in it. When rejection happens, you got to understand the Lord looks for proof. That's a good lesson. The Lord is looking for some proof from our lives. That's why God allows us to go through rejection and hardship. Oftentimes, when this happens, understand, God has a way of allowing the enemy and circumstances to reveal who you really are and your level of maturity. The Lord, in this short, brief moment in this mother's life, he allowed her to be unanswered, misunderstood by the disciples, rejected, and called a name. But when you understand God, he allows us to go through things so we can prove who we really are to him. And so we can see where we're at. When you find yourself getting high, you ain't doing nothing but proving you ain't where you need to be. Lying to folk about what's going on in your life, you're proving that you are immature or not where you need to be. And so when you and I go through things, change the slide to the Apple TV. My pad went dead. When you and I get to going through things, always remember, God just looking for proof. Do I really want what I'm asking for? Am I really who I say that I am? I say I love the Lord. Well, God going to take me through some things to see if I really love the Lord. You say you saved? Well, let's see if you really saved. He let you go off to school away from your parents. Did you stand strong or did you backslide? So now you see, well, I ain't really where I need to be. I need to get back in the place I need to be. Amen. And we see this happening throughout Scripture. The Lord, how many remember Abraham when he asked Abraham to offer Isaac, his only son, as a sacrifice? He said, take him to the mountain that I show you and offer him there. So he went and got his son, took him up the mountain with some firewood and a knife. And they got to the place where the Lord told him to be, laid his son down, and Isaac was like, what's going on? I see the fire and I see the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And here this man getting ready to slaughter his son for his God. And he told his son, the Lord will provide. And as he getting ready to kill him, the Lord said, stop. And listen, young folk, he said, now I know that you fear me. Now I know who you really are because you were willing to do what I told you to do. And so sometimes young folk, young adults, God is just sitting back to see that we show him our real self. See, if you're really a liar, it's going to come out. It's really going to come out. If you really love the Lord, it's going to come out. It's going to come out if you really love Jesus. If you playing with God, it's going to come out. It's going to show. It's going to manifest. If you really a giver, God going to put you in a tight and see if you still going to give. It's easy to give when you got a bankroll in your pocket. But what do you do when it's tight at the house? That's when we see if you are a cheerful giver. You say you believe in prayer? Let's see if you can keep praying when God don't answer your prayer. We're going to see if you still believe in prayer. So I've been asking God for 3 months. Well, he ain't lied. So you have to keep praying until he do it. Unless you just don't believe in what? In prayer. And so what God does, young folk, he looking for proof. He looking for proof. If you a real praise worshiper, leader, he gonna allow you to go through some things, allow the enemy to attack you just to see if you gonna praise your way through it. He needs some proof. He needs some proof. Unless you just talking. Jesus said in one text, he said, man, these folk talk a good talk. And that's paraphrasing. He said, their lips are saying the right thing. But he said, but their heart is far from me. God always look for some proof. God always looking to see if we real. And that's what he was doing for this mother. He let her go through 4 levels of rejection until finally, in my conclusion, he told her in verse 28, the 4th lesson, he said, great is your faith. I'm going to give you your heart's desire. This is the last lesson we need to learn from this mother. Persistence is a key to deliverance. Persistence is a key to deliverance. Just like this mother, she didn't give up. She didn't quit. Even though she was rejected numerous times, she still was steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. She didn't quit. She didn't give up. And that's how you have to be. Whether a demon is dealing with you or attacking you, whether you're going through something in your mind, we never give up. We don't get weary in well and well-doing, because we're going to reap if we don't faint. Tell somebody, you got to be persistent. You got to keep praying. You got to keep sowing. You got to keep confessing. You got to hold on to your confession of faith. One writer said, don't cast away your confidence. It has great reward. I thought y'all were going to get excited, because sometimes you feel like giving up. Sometimes you feel like saying, forget it, I'll do what I want to do. But when it comes to God, faith is what pleases him. Faith moves God. And part of faith is being persuaded that he is able to do what he promised. Even when in your life it seems as if he's not going to do what he said. One writer said, not one word of his good promise has failed. If God said he was going to do a thing, we just have to be persistent until he manifested. That's a good lesson. You never quit. You never give up. Even if demons have got the best of you, you still don't quit. Even if they done put a whooping on you, young folk, and you look at your life and you say, man, I done messed up big time. You don't stay messed up. You may get messed up, but you don't stay messed up. Your hair get messed up, but do it stay messed up? No, you eventually go get it fixed up. And that's what you got to do. You may get messed up, but you got to go get fixed up. You got to work out your soul salvation. You got to work it out. Lord, I done messed up. I done did this. I done let this happen. But Lord, I know you'll help me. That's what you call being persistent. But when you don't have that mindset, you'll just sit there and feel sorry for yourself and be oppressed by the devil. But that's not the will of God. God doesn't want us to be in that position. Are y'all understanding? We have to be persistent because that's what leads to the deliverance. And that's one of the final lessons we see in the text, along with the other three. This woman was determined to get what God had for her. She was desperate. And young folk, you've got to be desperate. You've got to be desperate to get what God has for you and know that he'll do exactly what he promised. How many see these lessons in this woman's life, this mother's life, and see how we can apply them to our life by a show of hands? I'm going to stop right there. Let's give.